child, age 16. The wife had stopped working with the birth of the child. She had not been employed for 16 years. The trial court found that her current income capacity was zero. She was going to have to re-enter the workforce. And that's not the grounds of our appeal. The error we allege in the court's order is ambiguity. The court was bound to state the events and circumstances it had reasonably contemplated in setting the amount of award. The court twice made reference to Mrs. Clark's future income capacity. The court combined those references to future income capacity with the word combined. So in the memorandum opinion of the court, they said that he was basing his award upon present circumstances, present needs, combined with opportunity to find to increase her financial worthiness. And then again, the trial judge said, combined with employment that she may find in the future.
In essence, though, doesn't that help you?
I don't see it that way, Your Honor.
Well, let me tell you how. Suppose, and again, these kinds of cases where you're trying to make a determination on spousal support, you're looking at current circumstances, but because you have vocational rehab people come in and you have all this other evidence which may or may not affect what happens, you make a determination. But in your case, it seems that the trial judge left a little window open where if your opponent, the wife here, finds a job that pays her a salary that is commensurate with what I'm sure you suggested she could make, that it gave the trial judge an opportunity to reopen the case, essentially, and make a determination that's more consistent with current circumstances, more or less putting it on a par of if she remarries or something. In other words, giving you another reason that you otherwise might not be entitled to under the statute to actually get a reduction in the spousal support obligation. So doesn't that kind of help you?
It would help if the trial judge had made the language contingent, but he spoke in terms of present circumstances that he was making a finding that included, with the word combined, he was making a present finding of her future earning capacity, and he said so twice. The genesis of this appeal is when the opinion came in, and my client said to me, can I petition to modify support if she doesn't go back to work? I had to tell him, I don't know.
I think that was probably pretty good advice.
If I was the her advocate on a motion to modify special support, I would say the judge said he considered my opportunities to increase my financial worthiness. He considered my what employment I might find, and that's all rolled into this $1,700 award, and that's not a material change in circumstances.
But I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
But taking your circumstance where your client comes in and says, well, what if she does not go out and get a job? It seems to me that, and I'm sure you did this, so I'm not suggesting that she didn't do anything that she shouldn't have done, the response would have been, I don't know, but if she does not go out and seek employment and she does not do the things that I believe the court reasonably envisioned she was going to do, then I will take you back to court and either, one, get a clarification as to what her obligation is, or, two, ask for a reduction because she has not followed through on what the court's theoretical approach was. That would have been my response, but I don't know what you said. I want to know what you told your client. But the bottom line is, it seems to me that the court left open an opportunity for there to be a reduction and essentially kept authority over the of the cause.
And the court did expressly qualify that the award would be modifiable upon a material change in circumstances.
Yep.
Right. So it's, given that we don't know what her efforts to find a job would be, what opportunities would actually present themselves to her that she may have been able to take advantage of, how can we say whether, how could the court say one way or the other whether that's a material change, a failure to find employment is a material change in circumstances until some period of time passes? I mean, isn't this really about the next hearing as opposed to the hearing we just had? And I understand you're worried about being locked in because if the ambiguous, what you contend is ambiguous, is held to be the opposite of what Judge Alston has suggested, you may have a problem. But, I mean, how do we evaluate whether, given that the order by its terms is modifiable on material change in circumstances until we know what and if, how do we say that the order, we don't know if the order will preclude you from getting that relief?
My request to the court is to clarify the order so that that won't be a cloud.
But all we can do is reverse or remand. And how do we direct the trial court to do that?
Your Honor, I don't feel that I can advise the court, but it was my thought that the court would have the power to, and that's what we asked for.
It seems to me that what you're actually, what you were requesting the trial court was a factual finding that wife had future work capacity, period.
Yes, Your Honor.
He said that she did. He just, excuse me, he just didn't put it in the order.
But isn't it discussed in the memorandum opinion that she does have? It's at least implied in the memorandum opinion that she has future work capacity. And the memorandum opinion is, if I recall correctly, incorporated by reference in the order.
And I'm going to go on recollection as to the incorporation because I haven't double-checked that. But the memorandum opinion, what the ambiguity I find is that the trial court expressly says that the amount that is fixed, $1,700 per month, the trial court says this amount reflects a sum less than she would be able to make if she were able to find full-time employment, given her skill, etc., but enough, given her other financial assets, to live to the standard of living during the marriage when combined with employment that she may find. And that is the most serious ambiguity in my eye, because it seems to be saying that she can take the $1,700 and combine it with employment or not combine it with employment. I read this language as relieving her of her duty to earn to her best capacity.
But how do we order a court to make a factual finding it didn't make in an order? I mean, why, if we remanded it back, the court, I would assume, could say, I've changed my mind. I'm not going to deem that she has future work capacity.
I think you're correct if you remanded without terms.
But if we assume that the letter opinion, at least implicitly, that there is some work capacity there, and I don't see any other way to read at least the last part of the clause that bothers you, if we eliminated the word combined.
Yes.
Then the order itself says the resulting relative financial situation of the parties is more fully set forth in the court's written opinion attached herein as attachment one. So it's fully incorporated.
Yes.
So if she starts making any money, and I know that's one side of the coin you're worried about, then you probably have a change in circumstance depending on how much, whether it's material or not. It doesn't seem to me to exclude the possibility if after a year, given that she had this, you could go in and argue that the change in circumstances is the passage of time given the court's finding that she had work capacity.
And
that's what you're planning on doing.
That's what we're planning on doing, yes.
When you do it.
Yeah, and if she did not go to work, your change in circumstance would not be she hasn't found a job yet, Judge. Your change in circumstance would be now she has present work capacity
and is willfully unemployed,
and you'd have to establish that anyway, whether this language is in there or not.
And I think what we're saying is that we can contrast what you would be asking this court to do, and that is essentially instructing the judge to make certain determinations, with statutory requirements in other contexts and family law, where a judge has to make written findings of certain things. And in this case, those no such written findings in the context that you're asking for are required under the statute. So I guess what we're trying to say is we're a bit hamstrung in giving you maybe what you want.
Precisely what I've asked for in our brief is an amendment to the order to read that plaintiff has demonstrated a present need for financial support, and I think that would fix my reservations.
I just don't know that we can blue pencil.
Yeah, do you have any?
We don't want to be in the business of blue penciling every divorce order that comes along.
Well taken. And I have a fallback position since the wife filed her brief, which I think is a correct statement of the law. The wife's brief says that the trial court did not relieve the wife of her duty to earn as much as she reasonably can. And
I'd save a copy of that and take it to the next
hearing. Pretty good admission to me.
It would suit my client's purposes if the court would adopt that in a written opinion. But that's what we're asking for, and that's our concern, that she would claim license to freeload.
All right. Mr. Hagan, I think we understand your argument. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Judge.
We'll come down and greet you, and then we will stand adjourned.